The title of our lesson tonight is, Are We Living in the Last Days? Are we living in the last days? As I mentioned this morning, this is a standalone lesson. Usually we go through a series on Sunday night, but because we only have one Sunday and then we're going to be at the Awaken Conference next week, this will kind of be a standalone lesson tonight. But the question, are we living in the last days? How many people here tonight have heard someone say to them, I believe we're living in the last days? Has anyone ever said that to you? It's definitely been said to me. I thought about this, and I'd say conservatively, I bet you probably 100 people have said that to me just in conversation, not including messages I've heard and preaching and things like that, but just in conversation, I've probably had at least 100 people make the statement to me that they believe that we are living in the last days. When I hear that statement, I always agree with that statement. When they say, I believe we're living in the last days, I say, I believe you're right. I believe we are living in the last days. I always reply and affirm what they said and said, I also believe that. But, why is that statement made? On what basis do they think that we're living in the last days? Why do they think we're living in the last days? And usually, that statement gets made as a result of something else we're talking about, or then they'll make additional statements after that. And usually it's something like this, to this effect. They'll say something like, well, the world has gotten so bad, we have to be living in the last days. Society has gotten so bad. Usually, as I think about conversations I've had, it usually involves the United States. It's pretty rare someone says, well, all these Christians are getting murdered in China and in Asia. We must be living in the last days. Usually it's unrelated to that. I mean, Christians being murdered in the Middle East and in other countries, sometimes it is related to it, but usually it's more based on the U.S. or Europe or the West. Maybe they'll think something like, or say something like, the legalization of gay marriage. We must be living in the last days. The disintegration of the family and of the home, the divorce rate that we see today, we must be living in the last days. Mass shootings, you know, people going crazy, losing their minds, just shooting up a Walmart, shooting up a school, shooting up a first grade, we must be living in the last days. I believe we're living in the last days. Or something to that effect. Now, I want to say this. Everything I just mentioned and many things beyond that, those things are a big deal. Those are extremely important, and we better be paying attention to what's going on around us and what's transpiring around us. However, these things are not why I agree with their statement. These are, as important as these things are, these are not why I believe that we're living in the last days. So why do I agree with their statement that we're living in the last days? Look over in 1 John chapter 2, beginning verse 18. Margaret joked with me this morning that, man, it's awful ambitious to tackle the end times in a little 30-minute class. You know what I told her? I need 30 seconds. 20 seconds to turn there, 10 seconds to read it. It's not that hard to tackle, and you're going to see why in just a second. 1 John, not the book of John, but 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Listen to the first seven words that I read here. Little children, it is the last time. There you go. Yes, we're living in the last days. God has revealed in His Word, and that is the authority. It's not my, you know, and I might even go into detail with somebody when I say, yes, I believe we're living in the last days, and here's why I believe it. It has nothing to do with what's happening in the world, nothing to do with my opinions about things that are happening geopolitically in the world, or things that are happening in the church, or things that are happening with the family. I believe it because it has been divinely revealed. This is the only authority upon which you can really hang your hat, to say this is true without question. It's infallible. It's inerrant. Yes, God has revealed in His Word that we are living in the last time, the last days, the last hour. That is exactly the context that John's referring to. When he says, little children, it is the last time. You can easily replace that word time with days or hour. It is the last hour, it is the last days. And you're going to see more of this in just a minute. We are living in the last days according to the Word of God. And it has been the last days since John wrote this. Now, when did John write this? Approximately, all of John's writings fall approximately somewhere between 85 to 90 AD. Which means, as John is writing this to his original audience, little children, it is the last time, as he's writing this, they were living in the last days. So what is the determining factor? If even in John's day, even in the first century, in the day of John, in the day of the apostles, we were living in the last days, what is the determining factor? Look at the remainder of verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So is this the determining factor as to what, as to when the last times begin? We read here that we see the appearance of Antichrist and an Antichrist who shall come. Is this what makes it the last days? It certainly sounds like it as you read this. Antichrist have showed up. It's got to be the last days. You know, you've been told an Antichrist shall come, and this is the first time in Scripture you see the term Antichrist is in 1 John chapter 2, that Antichrist shall come, or that the Antichrist shall come, but even now many Antichrists are in the world. So is this what determines that we're now in the last days? Because Antichrists have shown up. Listen to what John continues to write. That's what it sounds like in verse 18. But he goes on and says this: they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I think that's still happening today.
Amen.
I do. I think there are people that get exposure to church. They may, for some period of time, get exposure to the gospel, exposure to Christ for a period of time. Maybe it's a few services. Maybe it's one service. Maybe it's a year. Maybe it's 2 years. But they go out from us. What does John say? Because they're no longer of us? Because they went out from us, but they were not of us. They never were. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The only reason I mention that tonight is because we're entering an age of apostasy in the evangelical church in America. There's going to be a lot of people who go out from us. You're going to be seeing that. Stay tuned. You're going to be seeing a lot of people go out from the church. They were not of the church. Not everyone who comes and meets in buildings like this are of the church. Not everyone who sings at Christian concerts. Not everyone who leads large Christian rallies. Not all mega churches are of us. Okay? I just want you to keep that thought in mind, preparing you for what's ahead. But in verse 20 it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. There's a reason I continue to read there. Verse 22 is extremely important in understanding why this is the last time, the last days, the last hour. Look at 1 Peter. Hold that thought in mind as we see there. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to begin reading in verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is an awesome scripture and probably one that you're familiar with, that you've heard read or preached on before or quoted. Listen to verse 18. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Listen to verse 20. "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Okay. I'll stop right there. What that's saying is, he's saying that our redemption was purchased not by silver or gold or diamonds or anything like that, but our redemption, we were bought back out of sin, out of slavery to sin, not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, when you think about this, my mind goes to, I don't know, around 30 AD, to the crucifixion of Jesus. But Peter goes back beyond that. How far beyond that? He says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. This sacrifice for us, this sacrifice for sin, for sinners, was foreordained by God prior to Genesis 1:1. That's how far back it goes. This goes back, and this is not an exaggeration, before time began. And time had a beginning. What happened in 30 AD was ordained before the world began. Amen. That's what was just revealed here by God, written by Peter. It's about the Son. His sacrifice was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's the context of what he's talking about. He's talking about that shedding of the precious blood of Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. But listen to what it says next here. But was manifest in these last times for you. What's the question tonight? Are we living in the last days? But was manifest in these last times, these last days, these last hours for you. It was ordained by God that Christ would sacrifice Himself. He would give His life for sinners. It was ordained by God before the foundation of the world, but then it actually occurred and happened in 30 AD, 2,000 years ago. So as Peter is writing this, he's saying, this has always been the plan of God. The plan of the redemption of God was ordained before the foundation of the world, but it was carried out and manifested. It happened, it appeared in 30 AD, and it's now happened at this point as Peter is writing this around somewhere between somewhere around 65 AD as he's writing this. But was manifest in these last times. You notice that term again, for you. We come down to verse 21. So what he's saying is, he said this, his sacrifice was foreordained, but now it has taken place. His appearance, his sacrifice, his resurrection, and his ascension is the starting point of the clock ticking on the last times, the last days. The end times are Christ-centered, not anti-Christ-centered. They're Christ-centered, just like everything else. When you think about, do you know why John makes that reference to Antichrist? That many Antichrists have now gone out? The Antichrist is an imposter of the real thing. What began the end times was when the real thing appeared, who is Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is just an imitation or an imposter of that real thing. What began the end times was when that real thing appeared, and now there's imposters that have gone out because Christ has come, so then Antichrist show up to deceive people about who Christ really is. That's where the Antichrist come in, but the last times are determined by Christ. He starts the clock with His appearance, His being born into this world, His sacrifice, His resurrection, and His ascension. That is when the end times begin. We think about that question. If we're living in the end times now, if John was living in the end times, when did they begin with Christ? When Christ showed up, that is when the end times began. Or I should say more appropriately, when He ascended, that is when the end times began, the last days began. As you read this, you read about that, how that this plan was foreordained by God before the foundation of the world. The creation of this universe, I want you to think of it like this, was the building of a stage upon which this drama and this story would be played out. The entire universe, all it is a stage through which this story of redemption would be played out. That's what's being described in 1 Peter chapter 1. before the foundation of the world, these things were foreordained, but have been manifest in the last times to you. Comes down to verse 21 and says this, who by Him, by Christ, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. It's God-centered, it's Christ-centered. The end times are Christ-centered. Let's look over at Hebrews chapter 1. I think this is the scripture that comes to mind when I think about the question, are we living in the last days? It's not really 1 John chapter 2 that comes to my mind immediately. It's Hebrews chapter 1. I want to read this as well tonight. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And there's other scriptures we could read, but these are the three we're going to look at tonight. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Listen to what this says. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, verse 1, what it's saying is that God has spoken. God has communicated to us. God has communicated with us. God exists and He has spoken. I thought about this, that our entire class tonight could be just on this subject, that God has spoken. He's communicated to us, and we had better listen very closely to what He has said. I think about what the writer of Hebrews is referring to is men like Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Isaiah, Ezekiel. At all these different times, Ezekiel's in Babylon. Moses is writing some of these things, maybe even during the Exodus, leaving Egypt, going into Jerusalem. These things are written in all these different places at all these different times. That God uses these men to write His Word, to write down His revelation. That's what's described in verse 1. But now listen to verse 2. Are we living in the last days? Hebrews 1, verse 2. God, who at sundry times and diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. We're in the last days. The Son showed up. God has now spoken to us by His Son here in these last days. Verse 2, written 2,000 years ago, could have prevented the spread of Islam. It should have. What verse 2 is saying is this. God gave His revelation through men throughout the Old Testament. But it hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. The argument that the writer of Hebrews is making is this. We have been given the absolute, ultimate, superior revelation. The infinite revelation in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 600 years later, Muhammad receives another revelation. Is it superior to Christ? He claimed that it was. That should have tipped everybody off to say, reject it. But 1 billion people to this day have accepted that false revelation, which was claimed to be superior to the revelation of Christ, the revelation of the Son. Basically what Muhammad said is, yes, Jesus was a prophet. Yes, He did carry a revelation of God, but I've been given a further, later, and superior revelation. That's why it should have been rejected, but it wasn't. And you can't imagine the implications of that for, at this point, billions of souls that are going to spend eternity separated from God. They should have listened to Hebrews chapter 1. As I said earlier, God has spoken. You had better listen. I had better listen. This whole world had better listen. God has communicated. God has spoken. And when we reject it, there will be eternal consequences. That's what's being said in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. And you just think about these statements, by whom also He made the worlds. That's the person that showed up 2,000 years ago. As you think about this, you think about this infinite revelation that has come. You think about who is He, what has He done, where is He now, and all those things are answered in verses 3 through 4. It says this, who being the brightness of His glory, of whose glory? Of God's glory. That is who this person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who being the brightness of His glory, of God's glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. That's, we're getting the identity of who Christ is. We're seeing what Christ accomplished. By Himself purged our sins, is now sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You think the reign of Christ is something to come in the future? He's reigning immediately. He's reigning right now. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father on high. He said at His resurrection, all power and authority is given unto Me. He's in control of everything. He's reigning as we speak. Sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. Though He took on humanity, though He was a man, He is being, which man being made lower than the angels, this man, Jesus Christ, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That's describing who Christ is. I say all that tonight to say this. Yes, these are the last days. Now we encounter and believe Him, believe Christ, and by His testimony and through His Spirit, which was sent 50 days after His ascension, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was sent into this world to testify to Christ. By His testimony, by the Word of God, and through His Spirit, we are transformed by Him, and we spend our lives telling the world about Him, that He has come the first time and that He is going to return. We are awaiting His return, the King's return. I would describe it this way, is that this helps me to kind of get a concept of what this is like. The author of this story, who is outside of the story, and we are characters in the story, this story is being written. The author of the story, who is outside the story, who is writing the story, who is determining the story, has written himself into the story. And what is being described here is that the next chapter, the next page, is His return into this world. He ascended out of this world bodily. Where's His body? The same body that, you know, John leaned upon His breast. They had that closeness, that relationship. That same body is now gone. He left this world, but He's going to return. That's the next chapter. That's the next page. We are living in the last days according to God. So basically, well, I believe we're living in the last days. That's great, but I don't care, because we are. Well, I don't really think we're in the last days. I think, you know, all these things have to happen. You're wrong. According to God, we are living in the last time, the last hour, the last days. Christ could come back before we finish this lesson. No question. But here's the thing I want to close with. But all these people who say, I believe we're living in the last days. You've said it. I've said it. It's true. But do they really believe it? That's a really nice thing to say. Do I really believe it? Do you really believe it? If you really believe it, it changes how you live your life. Here's how Peter describes it. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to close with this. There are other scriptures I could read tonight. These are just four. 1 John 2, 1 Peter 1, Hebrews 1, 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen to what Peter writes. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Here it is again. But the end of all things is at hand. Yes, we're living in the last days. But the end of all things is at hand. So, that's a nice thing to say, but what do you do? If you really believe we're living in the last days, so what? What do you do in response to that? But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, and be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sober-minded, prepared, praying, loving fervently, showing hospitality, not begrudging others, serving one another, as those who have been entrusted with the manifold grace of God, speaking as the oracles of God, and doing all things for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. That's what the life of a person who believes Christ is coming back and that we are in the last days, that's what their life looks like. So here's the rub. The people that say, I believe we're living in the last days, but I know you, and I think you're bluffing. I don't think you really do think we're living in the last days, because their life doesn't look like this. Do I believe we're living in the last days? What does my life look like? Am I being sober-minded and prepared and praying and loving fervently, speaking as the oracles of God and sharing the gospel, living as one who's been entrusted with the manifold grace of God, that I know these things that I'm talking about tonight, and that you know these things? This is as deep as it goes. Forget physics, forget mathematics, forget all these seen as these really advanced sciences. This is as deep as it possibly gets. This is what true belief looks like, according to Peter. Do you believe we're living in the last days? Do I believe we're living in the last days? That's something very easy to say. It's cheap to say that. What I would say to that tonight as we close with this is, don't tell me that. Show me that. Show me you believe we're living in the last days. It's real easy to say it. I should be able to look at your life and say, that person believes we're living in the last days. You should be able to look at me and say, Jordan believes we're living in the last days. There's an urgency. He really is trying. I mean, he is trying to sneak Jesus into every conversation he has. That's the way we should be living our life, thinking about Christ as if we've been entrusted with the manifold grace of God, because we have. Speaking as the oracles of God, because we are. We carry this gospel in these earthen vessels, this light in these earthen vessels. We're going to stop right there tonight and break up into our groups to discuss this further.